Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
We are in our second Sunday of Advent, and this is a beautiful place. I love our trees. I love how they let you imagine. We had a funeral dinner in here this week, and someone said, "Oh, I love your angels. I just think your angels..." And I said, "I love them too." And I just kind of went with it, you know? The theme is imagine. It allows your creativity to go. I just love what those do for us and allow us to think that way. I am excited about Christmas this year because I want God to do some special things in my heart. I want Him to still me, to slow me. And it's a season where there's not a lot of opportunities for me to feel slow. There's a lot on my schedule with our kids and everything else going on. So I'm just praying extra hard that God would slow me and allow me to see all that the Messiah came to offer me. All that Jesus' arrival to this earth came to offer me 2,000 years ago. And I believe one of the critical things that Jesus came to offer us was living hope. We've talked about joy, this idea of joy being grace, recognizing what God has done in us and being filled with joy. We've looked at the idea of peace, this fullness, this wholeness that God gives us with His presence in our lives that can give us peace in the midst of incredible turbulence. Today we're going to spend time looking at this idea of a living hope. And I really do hope and encourage that you will take that insert with a pen and begin to listen for God's still small voice speaking into your heart and allow Him to reveal the things to you today that He wants to reveal to you. So you might do that with a pen, you might do that with the YouVersion Live app, but we hope that you engage. This word hope is actually an interesting Greek word. It's pronounced elpis. Elpis. It looks like this. It's kind of some goofy characters. This word hope means expectation, trust, or confidence. It means joyful and confident expectation for eternal salvation. Hope is connected to our eternal destination. But here's the thing. It is with expectation of what is not probable, but certain. It is not a probability that we're talking of when we look at biblical hope. It's with assurance. It's with certainty. I think that when we use this word in our language, we use it kind of like a feeling of expectation or desire. But there's a lot of fear sometimes, depending on what you're hopeful for. Sometimes it's mixed with a lot of fear or a lot of uncertainty. But the word elpis in the Greek, whenever it's used, and then we just translate it simply hope, what the writer is trying to articulate is there is a deep found assurance in what is to come. And if we just read the word in the NIV or the NLT, whichever translation you like, the King James Version, whatever, if you just read the word hope and you translate it as our version of hope, you're like, yeah, that's good wishful thinking right there. Let's see how that works out. But the writer, the original author of those words, is not coming across that way. They're saying with deep assurance, this will happen. So as we look at various scriptures today, I want us to hear that definition. I want you to follow me for just a moment. We're entering into the Christmas season, right? We're already in the Christmas season, and children and teenagers are excited about the gifts that they're going to get, and adults are excited about the Visa and MasterCard bill at the end of the year, and it's all just filled with great anticipation, right? Well, here's how I kind of appreciate this. I have a great upbringing. You may know, most of you know, I was raised in Indiana. I had two great parents who loved each other, who continued to go to church, who made that an important part of their deal. But when it came to like Christmas and birthdays, I didn't always hold out a whole lot of hope that I was going to get what I wanted. It was just one of those things that I would unwrap presents and go, that was really interesting. You ever have an experience like that? I grew up, now I grew up, some of you will remember this, but I grew up memorizing what page certain things were on in the JCPenney catalog. Anybody remember catalogs? Before the internet, we used to have books that they would make with pictures, and letters would correspond with various items on it. Do we remember anybody? And so I would look at the JCPenney catalog and I would whip out my typewriter and Dear Santa. Anybody else do this? And for years I would look on page 226 and see the drum sets in the JCPenney. Who would buy a drum set at JCPenney's? I realize that now, that was crazy. But I would ask for it year in and year out, and it never came. For years I would ask for, because I love Star Wars and I'm excited that Star Wars is coming back, I would ask for the Star Wars AT-AT thing. It was this big thing. We skipped some scripture. We're going through scripture to this thing. Remember, anybody remember this? I was begging for this. My neighbors had one. Why couldn't I have one? This is right out of the catalog. I kept the catalog all these years. I'm kidding. Who didn't want the Frogger tabletop game? Anybody? I mean, I'd beg for it. I'd put the number there. I'd put the price when they could get it on discount. I was clear. What boy didn't grow up in the 80s and not ask for a Steelers jammy set right there? I did. I wanted the. I was a huge Steel Curtain fan. Now I can't stand the Steelers. We lived in the JCPenney catalog, right? And every Christmas, anticipation. Every birthday, anticipation. And I love my parents. But that stuff never came. Are you with me? So I could have hoped all day long. I could have had wishful thinking all day long that this was going to come. But that wasn't going to happen. And I love you, Mom. And if you're listening to this online, I still love you. All right? It's all good. It's all good. I want us to just be able to work through the difference between wishful thinking and the biblical concepts of what hope is really all about. Because hope is what we're here for. So Troy, I want to jump. Can we jump back up to that scripture real quick? I'm sorry, man. I got so excited about showing everybody the Star Wars toy. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. This one single verse captures my desire for today. That we would leave this place overflowing, not with wishful thinking and fingers crossed, but that we would overflow with a certainty in our souls. A certainty in our souls of who God is and what He wants to do in your life through the good days and through the bad days. A friend of mine who now lives in Dallas, Texas, posted this yesterday. She was actually a dear friend of Tammy and I's, our labor and delivery nurse for both of our children. And she wrote these words, best feeling ever. You know, when you've been praying for something for years, assuming that because it wasn't answered in the notoriously short amount of time that you wanted it to be answered in, that God, it wasn't God's plan. He just needed to teach me patience and trust while He heard and answered my need. What an awesome God we serve. Never forsaken. Always love. This was her post on Facebook yesterday. I don't know what prayer was answered for Angie. I have no idea. But what I do know is that so often that is us. We pray for something and we give God this short timeline to fix it. And we say that He's got to work within this context. And if I think sometimes He goes, I would love to, but because you want it that bad, that quick, I'm going to teach you some other things along the way. And for Angie, whatever it was, she learned that hope doesn't need to be limited to the idea of the time frame that things happen in, but in the greater scheme of what God is doing. Because this is the idea of El Peace, this word of hope. It is an unwavering commitment to seeing the promise fulfilled in the timing of God and in the ways of God. And that's what we have to really wrap our heads around today. The promise being fulfilled, it's an unwavering commitment to that, to the promise being fulfilled in the timing of God and in the ways of God. Biblical hope rests on promises that are guaranteed. If we hold that into contrast to the way we use the word, it's a stark difference. How did you use the word hope this weekend? You know, I thought about that last night. I hoped that Indiana would win a basketball game, and they lost to Duke, and it was pretty ugly. I slept through the second half. It was so bad. I actually hoped that Michigan State would beat Iowa last night, and that was an exciting finish. I don't care which side of that equation you're on. That was exciting. I hoped that my son and daughter would have great experiences playing basketball this week. I hoped for things that I was just crossing my fingers for. That's how I use the word hope. And if you've hoped for something this week, you probably have done that too. In the 12th chapter of Romans, Paul is giving us some practical advice of what it means to live under the law of love. He teaches us a lot of things in the 12th chapter of Romans. It's a fantastic read. And then he gets into verse 12 and he says, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." There are three things there that you could chew on for the rest of this day. Joyful in hope. Hope is not a drag. It is not sad. Being hope brings joy. It's connected to joy. Hope should never make us impatient or unkind while we're waiting. Hope should always drive us to our knees, never giving up speaking to our Father in prayer. But let's be as practical as we can be for a minute, because we've talked about it over the last few weeks. Our world is a bleak place, right? Our world is a bleak place. Since we've last met, there have been headlines of more and more shooters on the run. True? It's becoming that. I just want the news to stop reporting it, because I think everybody's building off of one another. You know? And so the reality is, our world is filled with bleakness. So why are we talking about joy? How can we talk about peace? How can we talk about hope? Because of this, I believe that God has the answers figured out. Peter wrote about it. He wrote about our hope as he began his first letter to the church. He writes, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead." Now, we live with, and here's the word where the word is used, with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of any change or decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed in the last day for all to see. Why am I using this scripture? Here's why. What is Peter telling us? Our hope, our guarantee, our commitment is not found in the things of this world. That's why. And so we can go on crossing our fingers for the things we experience here, but our hope is found in something deeper. Our hope is never built around success or our worldly existence. Our hope should never be built around our financial status and what we can obtain. Our hope should never be built around our home or our closet or our closets, because we need multiple closets, right, to fill our stuff. Our hope, our confidence, our certainty is the only thing found as the arrival of Christ's kingdom comes. It is the only eternal thing. And so we base ourselves in God's eternal kingdom. That's where our hope is found. So as the world is crumbling and falling apart, we can still be people of hope. We can still be people of hope. Abraham just didn't have happy thoughts when he was called to leave everything he knew and to follow God. He had hope. He had a confident hope that God would show him the place to dwell. He had a confident hope that God's promise of fulfilling his great inheritance would be seen. Moses didn't go back to Egypt with trembling and fear. He had hope. It was a hope that was bold, to go face to face and toe to toe with the leaders there, and that he knew that God would deliver his people in God's way. It was hope that drove Moses back there. David didn't face the giant nor go in any battle with certainty of his strategy. He went into every battle with deep hope that God was going to be the deliverer, that God was going to win the victory. He was just using him as the tool. One of my favorite stories from Chronicles 20, it's Jehoshaphat leading God's people into the battle. And it's multiple armies against God's people. And Jehoshaphat calls all the people together. And they wait for God to speak. And when God speaks, he says, "Go. This battle belongs to me and not you." And so they sang songs and they praised the Lord. Got up early in the morning to go face their enemy. And the enemy had already annihilated themselves, because God put them into confusion. And all they had to do was walk in and take the plunder back home. The battle belongs to the Lord. That was the hope that Jehoshaphat led his people, led God's people into that battle that day. Countless times in Scripture, God's people trusted in His promises with an incredible amount of confidence, an incredible amount of hope, proclaiming the favor of God. And we read those stories and we see the ending and we go, well, of course they knew to do that. Of course that was going to work out. The people, though, when they marched around Jericho, had to have a confident hope that those walls somehow would crumble, that God would give them the victory. Otherwise, they just looked like fools. If you know the story, God was delivering them into the promised land, and the first place they had to defeat was this well-fortified city. And God just said, march around every day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, march around seven times, blow your horn, crash. Are you kidding me? That is not a great battle strategy. You've got to be either crazy or biblically hopeful to go do that. And God's people did it over and over and over again. And do you think that the times have changed that we're not called to do the same anymore? We lack the same ability to understand what's on the other side of the next moment. We are just as blind moving forward as the people read about in Scripture. The difference is that they lived their life with a confident hope that God's promises would be fulfilled. And sometimes we shrink back as the church because we're just not sure. And we cross our fingers with wishful thinking. There's not certainty in crossing your fingers. There's not boldness in crossing your fingers. Even in our Christmas story, in our Christmas narrative, you're thinking it's Advent. He hasn't even talked about the birth of Jesus once yet, right? It was hope what encouraged Joseph to take Mary to be his wife. He needed a confident assuredness that this was right in the midst of questionable circumstances. It was hope that led the Magi on a long journey, even though the details of their destination remained largely unknown. It was hope that took the shepherds from the fields into the city for themselves to see what the angels had been singing about to them. It was hope that startled Joseph in the middle of the night through a dream that drove him to pack up all of his belongings and listen to that voice and take his wife and son and leave and flee for what turned out to be for their very lives to Egypt. Where do you need hope today? At what place in your story do you need God's hope to intersect in your life? Is it in your marriage? Is it in your occupation? Is it somewhere? I mean, where do you need hope to be inserted? A confident assuredness that God's promises will be fulfilled. Where does God need to remind you of His faithfulness through the centuries and moving forward in your life? Here's what I believe. As we read the stories, as we look at the news, our world is being filled with fear. But in God's hope, there is no fear. It is a 100% free of fear zone. So if you need to hear one thing today, this is maybe what you need to hear. God's hope drives out all fear from your life. God's hope drives all fear from your life. It is the path toward peace and joy that we've spoken about over the last couple of weeks. The writer of Hebrews says it like this in the 10th chapter. And so, dear brothers and sisters, can we boldly enter heaven's most holy place? Or rather, it's not a question. He says, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By His death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. This is huge news to the people of God, to the people of the Jews. The Holy of Holies was limited to the high priest of the day, and that was it. And the writer here is saying, it is now, the presence of God is now available to everyone. We should approach it with boldness. For our guilty conscience have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So let us hold tightly, without wavering, to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of His return is drawing near. This was written 2,000 years ago. Couldn't be more applicable for our days today. That God is giving you hope. He is giving you a certainty about His promise, and that we are to take that hope and share it with others as the body of Christ. Where do you need hope today? Where is your life feeling a little stressed, a little hopeless today? Where do you need God to come in and speak His eternal truth and confidence in your life today? I want to just close with just some moments of prayer. No music playing, just us sitting in silence, listening for God's voice as we consider how His hope, His confidence can help us on this day. Let's pray together. God, thank You so much for being here today. Thank You for filling us with Your Word. Thank You for meeting with us with Your presence. And I pray, God, that as we spend these last few seconds together contemplating You, that You will reveal how You need to work in our lives as individuals. Speak to every heart. Where there's fear, give them a vision of peace. Where there's uncertainty, God, give them a sense of confident hope. Where there's doubts and questions about Your existence, God, would You bring an incredible amount of hope and confidence in that reality? Where there is frustration, God, would You bring stillness? In every circumstance, in every life, I pray, God, that Your hope would flood them, flood us all. God, we love You. It's a privilege to sit in Your presence in this place today. I pray now that as we go, we would go with a confident assurance that You go with us and Your promises will be fulfilled. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.